from the tree. Dressed it up and they called it a day. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now.
Hello, Dave Root again with the latest episode of Back in the Day. Now, I've always been a bit of a Beatles nut, and in this episode I'll be ranking the Beatles covers in reverse order. I will not be including the song Maggie May, as for me it's not a full track, it's just a throwaway by John Lennon that fills in a gap between two songs on Let It Be. So that leaves us with 24. And at number 24, I have placed track 6 of side 1 of Beatles for Sale, Mr. Moonlight. John Lennon lead vocals with backing vocals from Paul McCartney and George Harrison. The song was written by Roy Lee Johnson and was released as the B-side of Dr. Feelgood by Dr. Feelgood and the Interns in 1962. The song was also the B-side to I Think of You, a fine single by the Merseybeats in 1963. So why is Mr. Moonlight number 24 or 24? Well, it's all down to one thing, really. It's the bloody Hammond organ solo. I just hate it. I think everybody does, and it kills the song stone dead. Number 23 is a song that appears on the Long Tall Sally EP, a Larry Williams song called Slow Down. It's a song that doesn't do much for me. I think the Larry Williams original is superior with its great sax solo. Number 22, another Larry Williams song, Bad Boy, which strangely finds itself as a track on the 1966 compilation album, a collection of Beatles oldies but goldies. After the Beatles' decision to retire from live performance in 1966, they decided to take 3 months off. Lennon went to Germany, then Spain, to film a role in the comedy film How I Won the War. Harrison travelled to India to further his studies under Ravi Shankar. Ringo Starr spent time at home with his wife and child, and McCartney attended cultural events in London and worked on the film score to the great film The Family Way with George Martin. Hence, for the first time, they had no album to release for the Christmas market. So this collection of hits was put together for a December 66 release. I've never really understood why Bad Boy was included in this collection, instead of, say, a big hit like Please Please Me or even the first single, Love Me Do. It stands out like a sore thumb. Definite one of their best, not keen on the original either. Number 21 is track 5, side 2 of their debut album, Please Please Me, A Taste of Honey. It is a pop standard written by Bobby Scott and Rick Marlowe. It was originally an instrumental track written for the 1960 Broadway version of the 1958 British play A Taste of Honey. Herb Albert had a US Top 10 hit with an instrumental version in 1965. Paul McCartney was the lead vocal on the Beatles' effort. It's an okay song that fits in well with the other songs on the album. And number 20 is another song off the Long Tall Sally EP, a Carl Perkins composition, Matchbox, with Ringo Starr on lead vocals. The original Carl Perkins version is good, but for me the best version was filmed at the Capitol Theatre in 1985. It's a live version which can be seen on YouTube, with Carl Perkins, Ringo and Eric Clapton sharing the vocals. It also features some great rock and roll guitar by Eric. Great stuff. As for the Beatles version, okay, good rock and roller. At 19 is the final track of side one of Beatles for Sale, a Liva Stoller composition, Kansas City. Kansas City attached to Little Richard's Hey 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 as a medley. Now, Liva and Stoller wrote some great songs, but for me, this isn't one of them. And Little Richard's Hey 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 isn't really a complete proper song. Macca puts a lot of effort into the vocal, but I think this effort falls a little short. At number 18, track 3 of side 2 of Beatles for Sale, Honey Don't, sung by Ringo. Now, I know this song has its haters, but I've always quite liked it. Another Carl Perkins song, and once again a good live version with Perkins, Ringo and also Dave Evans and the Stray Cats live at the Capitol Theatre, again in 1985. See it on YouTube. 17 is a Little Richard's classic rock and roll at Long Tall Sally from the Long Tall Sally EP. The Beatles on occasion in the early days used to close their live shows with this song and recorded the song 7 times for BBC broadcasts between 63 and 64. In fact, it was the last song they ever sung live to a paying audience at San Francisco's Candlestick Park on August 29th, 1966. Paul McCartney certainly gives his all on the vocal, and there's some good guitar work. It's a good version, but for me it falls a bit short of the original 56 Little Richard version, which has some much more energy. The 16 is a song that opens up side two of the Help album, Act Naturally. The song was written by Johnny Russell and released as a single by Buck Owen and the Buckaroos in 1963. The Beatles version was sung by Ringo Starr, and I think it's a song that really suits him. In fact, he still does it live now with his all-star band. I always thought the Beatles did country very well, and this effort doesn't disappoint. Another Ringo vocal, number 15, on Boys, a song that appeared on their solo album Please Please Me in 1963. The song was written by Luther Dixon and Wes Ferrell, and was originally the B-side to the Shirelles' smash hit Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow in 1960. The Beatles were very good at finding these obscure girl group songs. Some critics think the lyrics are a bit strange for a man to sing, and I suppose they are, but I don't care. For me, this song, especially the intro, just sums up 1963, and for me, that's got to be a good thing. Incidentally, there's a great version of this song on YouTube comes from the 2015 Rock and Roll Inductions, where Ringo sings the song with Green Day, who really entered into the spirit of things. It was great seeing Ringo playing alongside Green Day drummer Trey Cole. Magic moments. Cole Perkins is back again at number 13. I've placed a song that closes the Beatles for Sale album, Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, with George on lead vocals. A rockabilly song written by Rex Griffin in 1936. It was released in 1957 by Cole Perkins and achieved widespread popularity. I'm sure most Beatles fans will not have played this song as high, but I've always liked it, and I've always liked George's voice. Good version with Cole Perkins and Dave Evans at the aforementioned 85 Capitol Theatre gig. At number 12, another Chuck Berry song, Rock and Roll Music, track 4, side 1, Beatles for Sale. For me, the reason it's high as 12 on the list is down to one thing, a fantastic John Lennon vocal. The Beatles version is at least as good as Chuck Berry's 58 original and far superior to the Beach Boys version. At number 11 is another on Beatles for Sale, Words of Love, a song written by Buddy Holly and released as a single in 1957. Who knows what Buddy Holly would have achieved if he hadn't been so tragically killed in a plane crash in 1959, aged 22. Surely no one had a catalogue as good as his at just that age. He would only been in his early 30s in 1970. I can see him with long hair, maybe John Lennon-style glasses. How many great songs would he have made in the 60s and further ahead into the 70s and 80s? I think he would have been a giant in the music world, right up there with Beatles and Elvis. I think the Beatles version is slightly better, mainly because of the harmonising of John and Paul and George is superior to Buddy harmonising with himself by using tape recordings on 1950s equipment. Into the top 10 now, and at number 10 is track 5 of side 2 of With the Beatles' Devil in Her Heart, a song written by Richard B. Drapkin, who recorded under the name Ricky D. Excuse me. Another case of the Beatles picking up rarities as the song was not a hit either side of the Atlantic. I've always liked the song. George is on lead vocal with great backing vocals by John and Paul. At number 9 is a song that closes the With the Beatles album, Money, That's What I Want. The song was written by Tamla founder Berry Gordy and Janie Bradford. The song was originally recorded and released in 1959 by Barrett Strong, and it reached 23 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's a good version, great vocal, good musically, but for me, let down a little bit by the girl backing singers. In 1979, the British new wave band The Flying Lizards released a new version of the song, and very popular it was, reaching number 5 in the UK singles chart. For me, the Beatles version is the best, and once again, another great John Lennon lead vocal. At number 8, surprisingly for a lot of Beatles fans, I've got the song that is track 4 of side 1 on the Please Please Me album, Chains. The song was written by husband and wife songwriting team, Jerry Goffin and Carole King. It was first recorded in 1962 by girl group The Cookies, who took the song to number 17 in the US. They did have a big hit the following year, Don't Say Nothing About My Baby, which went top 10. They were sought after backing singers and appeared on many hits of the day, including Breaking Up It's Hard to Do by Neil Sedaka, Blame It on the Bossa Nova by Edie Gourmet, and all of Little Eva's hits, including The Locomotion. I think the Beatles version is far better with the harmonica intro and George's fine vocal performance. And number 7 is the song that opens up side 2 with the Beatles, Roll Over Beethoven, the Chuck Berry classic rock and roller. Yet another George Harrison lead vocal. I think this version is at least as good as the original released in 1956. John Paul George had been performing this song before they even became the Beatles, right up to the American tour of 64. Great song, great version. At number six, we stay with the Beatles album, and on side one, track six, we have Till There Was You. This is a show tune written in 1950 by an American composer called Meredith Willson, who also, among others, wrote 76 trombones, and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. The song was originally titled Till I Met You, which, along with many Willson compositions, was in the award-winning musical The Music Man. I've always liked this song, which suits Paul McCartney's voice perfectly. The Beatles performed it live on the 1963 Royal Variety Show, and it's an absolutely perfect performance. At number five, it's back to the Please Please Me album, and it's track three of side two, and it's a Bacharach William Davis song, Baby It's You. The song was released in 1961 by the Shirelles and was successful reaching number eight in the US chart. This version I've always found a bit weak, but what kills the song stone dead is the organ in solo that comes in at about 1 minute 44 seconds. It's bloody awful. A better version was a top five hit for a group called Smith in 1969. And on YouTube, there's a fine live version of the song by Adele. But for me, the best version is by the Beatles. It suits them perfectly. And another fine Lennon vocal. Number four is a song that closes side one of With the Beatles, Please Mr. Postman. It's written by Dobbins, Garrett, Gorman, Holland and Bateman. It's a debut single by girl group The Marvelettes for the Tamla label. It will be the first Motown song to reach the number one position on the Billboard Top 100 pop singles chart in late 1961. It will become a Billboard Top 100 number one hit again in 1965 with a Carpenters version. For me, very inferior to the Marvelettes original. I find the Beatles version, complete with hand claps, a much bigger sound, and John Lennon's vocal fantastic. Always been fond of this song, it's great. At number three on my list is a song that most Beatles fans have as their favourite, the closing track of the Please Please Me album, Twist and Shout. I think out of all the Beatles cover versions, this song is the one most people don't even realise is a cover. So much of the Beatles made it their own. The song was written in 1961 by Medley and Russell. The song was a hit in 1962 by the Isley Brothers. It reached 17 in the US and 42 in the UK. Recorded on February 11, 1963, when practically the whole album was released in one day, it has been called the most famous single take in rock history. Famously, closing the Royal Variety Show set in 1963 following John's Rattle Your Jury comment. It was also released as a single in the US and reached number two, only kept off the top spot by the group's follow-up single, Can't Buy Me Love. The Beatles performed the song live on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964 and continued to play it live until the end of the 65 American tour. The song was famously lip-synced by leading actor Matthew Broderick in the film Ferris Bueller's Day Off in 1986. It's a great song. I think the only reason it's not higher on the chart is maybe over-familiarity. It's been played a lot in the 60 years since its release. Right, number two, another from the With the Beatles, a Smokey Robinson song, You've Really Got a Hold on Me, a song that was a top 10 hit on the Billboard Top 100 in 1962. As good as the Smokey Robinson's and the Miracles version is, I think the Beatles version for me is better. The overall sound is heavier, and then you have another fantastic Lennon vocal, backed by Paul McCartney and George Harrison's perfect backing harmonies. Great stuff. So, what is number one? Well, my number one favourite Beatles cover will surprise a lot of people. A lot of non-Beatles fans will probably never even heard of it. It appears as track three of side one on their debut album, Please Please Me. It's Anna, in brackets, Go to Him. My older sister was given this LP as a present in 1963, the year of its release. So I've been playing this song for about 59 years, and I can honestly say I've never tired of it. Soon as that intro comes in, I'm hooked. It was written by Arthur Alexander and recorded as a single in September 1962. It had minor success, reaching number 68 on the Billboard Hot 100. Although Alexander had very little chart success for a writer of his ability, he was a major influence on other writers, including a young John Lennon. The Rolling Stones also picked up on his talent and recorded a great version of his song You Better Move On. The story goes that when the Beatles recorded the song, John Lennon had a bad sore throat and was sucking Zoobs all day. Now, for younger listeners, Zoobs are a menthol stroke aniseed throat lozenge, and they're revolting. And I think it gives his already brilliant lead vocal an extra edge. He sounds tormented about the loss of his girlfriend. Another plus for the song is Ringo's excellent drum performance. Just to mention, there is an excellent version of this song on YouTube by Mick Hucknall on the BBC's 50th anniversary of the famous 12-hour session at Abbey Road that resulted in the Beatles' first album, Please Please Me. So, there we have it. I'm sure most people are going to disagree with my placings, and who knows, in a couple of years' time, I might even disagree myself and place them differently. Time, tastes change. Right, thanks for listening. There is a Back in the Day podcast page on Facebook. If you have any comments about this or any other previous episodes, please make them there. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.